You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Julie Fouch. Julie decided she needed to take her coaching business seriously. She hired a high-end coach and learned to market like a man. She doubled, then tripled her income in less than a year, but she felt drained, uninspired, and restless. So, urged by spirit, she embraced her essential womanness and birthed a new way, the art of feminine marketing. Today, Julie teaches female coaches, teachers, and healers who are frustrated with traditional marketing how to build six-figure businesses that honor their feminine essence. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be able to be here with you.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure. You have a unique twist to marketing. Before we get into it, I'm excited and can't wait, but tell us about your journey here, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was raised in a family where the boys were taught how to get along in the world and the girls were taught, were protected. And my dad actually told us, I thought my job was to protect my girls and teach my boys how to get along in the world. And so I grew up with this idea that I was somehow not able to take care of myself in the world. And it led me to getting married right out of high school and staying in an abusive relationship for 20 years. And when I finally left that relationship and discovered that, hey, I could take care of myself, it was quite an eye opener. And then I started a coaching practice. And I was told that in order to get clients for my coaching practice, I had to find people's fear. I had to really make them feel bad. And then I could position myself as the only answer and that their life was going to be terrible if they didn't hire me. And I thought, great, I'm never going to market. That wasn't me.
Right.
But I ended up marrying my second husband. And when the market crashed, the housing market crashed, his land use business went with it. And so all of a sudden, I had to figure out how I could market my coaching practice because I had to make money.
Right.
And that's when I hired my first business coach. And I learned strategy and I learned funnels and I learned webinars and, you know, giveaways and all the different kind of marketing techniques that we do. And I was working 6 days a week and, you know, 10 or 12 hours a day. And I was just getting really worn out. Mm-hmm. And because I'm really thick-skulled, Source was saying, there's a different way. And I wasn't listening. And so I got rear-ended at a stoplight. And this was October. I was a few thousand dollars from my first six-figure year, and I couldn't work anymore.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those moments where I could have chosen to fight it or I could have leaned in. So I leaned in. And in those quiet spaces when I was laying on ice because I hurt my back, I heard the whisperings that there's a different way, that there's a way that's better for women, that there's a way that's more sustainable. And I started to hear the messages about what the art of feminine marketing was. And it's really funny because I always before had heard people say they got a download. You know, you've heard that phrase, oh, I got a download. And I'd think, idiot, just say it. You had an idea. There's no such thing as downloads until the art of feminine marketing decided to download. And I just listened. And as it revealed itself, I took notes and I switched the way I did business. And today I make more money. It feels more easeful. I have more fun with it. And I'm able to bring all of me into the business.
That's great. So you finally made it to that six figure, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dollars away. And
yeah, I was dollars away. The next year I did.
Awesome. Yeah. And now I am intrigued. Tell us, what is feminine marketing?
So when we talk about feminine marketing, we have to realize that we all have both feminine and masculine energy within us. And the masculine energy is very outward. It's very action oriented. It's very much do, do, do. And when we operate from our masculine, what it looks like is you get an idea, you ramp up, you push, 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 push until you hit the goal. And then you ramp higher and you do the next goal. And when we are solely in our masculine, it becomes a bully and it starts bullying us. Right. And that leads to exhaustion. That leads to burnout. It leads to adrenal fatigue. It leads to cancer. It leads to all kinds of terrible things. Mm-hmm. The feminine starts by going inward, by connecting with source, God, the universe, whatever your language is, by being reflective, by being creative, by being in the dream state, by connecting with others, by connecting with ourselves. The feminine starts, marketing starts when you're out walking on the ground and being with Mama Earth. And we allow the creative to come through us, and we allow information to come through us. We allow those crazy downloads to come. And then we take that, and as that information becomes fully formed, then we bring our masculine in and say, in service to the idea, how do you want me to put it out into the world? What would be the best form? So it's not a formula that a guru says you must do this to be successful, but it's an inner knowing of who we are and how we're meant to operate in the world, and listening to that inner knowing, not with our heads, but with our souls and with our body, and using that to direct the flow of what we're doing in our business.
That is interesting. The synergy is coupling both of them, being aware they both exist independently, interdependently, and then putting them together to be powerful.
Yes. And I can give you an example, because it's kind of like heady stuff, what I'm saying. I do a live event every year. And when I sit down to plan the marketing for the live event, because a live event doesn't happen without a lot of planning, I start by going inward and I connect with the energy of my business. And I say, you know, what do you want this to be? Who do you want it to be for? How do we want to serve? And I'm asking those questions. And I actually have a conversation with the energy of my business. And then I get to the point where I say, how do you want to market this? Now, the guru strategy is you have three webinars and you give a free gift, and then you get people on an enrollment call, and then you bring them into the event. And then, right, there's an actual formula out there. And when I go to, should I do a webinar? My insides just crumple up into a ball. And my business just goes, no, no, no. Now, webinars work for some people, but for me, they don't work. And I don't like them. And my business doesn't like them. And so I don't do them. And I've actually had mentors say, well, maybe you should try again. And I'm like, you know myself at this point. I trust myself. And I'm like, no, a webinar is not going to work. A Facebook Live is going to be fabulous for me. So I just shift into what my soul tells me, what source tells me, what my business tells me will work.
And then if you are in tuned enough, you will hear it and it becomes louder and you're more confident to react to it later on.
Yes. And I do it consciously too. I mean, I sit down and I take out, I open a Word document and I go into meditation and I consciously do it and ask the questions.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said about if your business, when listening to your business, let's just say that, right? You're listening to your business, you're listening to your soul, you're listening to the sources for hunches and answers that is being provided to help guide your decision making or how to do marketing. And actually, I believe in that, because if it works for you, then you'll put all your being into it, right? Because there's feelings behind marketing.
Yes. Oh, marketing is 90% emotion.
Right.
And if you're not 100% on board with what you're doing and what you're marketing, then people will feel that.
Yeah.
And it will fall flat.
Yeah. People will like discernment. Some type of discernment comes from on the other end. And that's why when you're putting landing pages together, lead magnets together, you really got to put yourself in your avatar's shoes. And how will they perceive this? Right? And then add your good energy and good feeling to it, because yes, I feel good about this. Yes, this is the right way to actually take them through the journey.
Yes, exactly.
That stuff is really crucial, because I'm so fascinated right now, Julie, because I just started doing my own marketing campaign. And, you know, I have an app coming out, and I had some developers overseas helping me create landing pages and lead magnets and all that stuff. And then I realized it just takes forever, because if I have an idea, that masculinity energy you talk about, I'm a do-do-do-go-go-go type of reactive person. And so when I just started doing the marketing myself, and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Oh, good.
So it's interesting that you brought that up today, because you really got to add your being into it. You got to listen for that connectedness.
Yeah, people can sniff it out. If it's not you, then they will sniff it out, and it will repel.
Yeah, and so how do you advise people who are terrified of marketing, right? They're like, I'm not a salesperson, and they have a good product. I've heard Dean DeGrasse says, if you don't bring forth your service or your product, think of it, you're doing your clients a disservice.
Yeah. I have a really good friend who tells the story of, she had a client hire her one time, and the client said to her, I have been praying for you to come along. So I know that we are all here for a purpose. And when you are living your purpose, but you are not telling people about it, then you are causing them to stay in pain. Mm. So if someone says, you know, I really hate marketing, I hate sales, it's like, great. And so what? You know, it's like, you have to tell people what you can do for them so that they can find you. Now, I also think it's really important that you deal with your emotions around it, mm-hmm. because those will create blocks. And that's where, you know, having a mentor, a coach, a girlfriend, someone that you can say, hey, here's how I feel. Let me get it out. Let me all over the table. And now I'm going to go ahead and do it, because those emotions, so the fear, it's actually there for a reason. And it's there because it's trying to protect you. Especially for women. So think about this. What happened up until, well, still happening, but what happens to a powerful woman who speaks out?
Oh, she's aggressive. She's, you know, B.I. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right? If a man says the same thing, he's being a leader. If a mm-hmm. woman says it, she's aggressive.
Right.
150 years ago, wait, did I do that math right? 300 years ago? A powerful woman got burned at the stake, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got thrown in the river. They got burned at the stake. We have within us, built in to our DNA, is this belief that in order to survive, we have to be nice, likable, and marriageable. That is how a woman got by up until the 1950s. I mean, it's crazy. And so we have to understand, we come from that background of, oh, I can't speak out. I can't brag about myself. I just have to be nice here.
How do we break out of that?
Well, I think the first thing is to recognize it, right? The second thing is to recognize that you are part of source. You are a creator. You are, as one of my mentors says, thou art goddess, and so is everyone else. To recognize your own connection to source, and that God, source, the universe put you here to live a vibrant, juicy life and to do the work that you were chosen to do. And so it's in that recognition that we begin to heal the sins of our ancestors. And like this, even today, like we begin to heal that place of being told we're less than because we're women, when we recognize that the goddess gave birth to the planet. Now, I know that's really woo-woo talk because I'm reading a new book about goddesses. But really, women give birth. Ancient civilizations believed in goddess because they said this is the natural place. You know, it's the natural order. is that we give birth. So we recognize our own power and our own connection to the divine. We understand that we've got this thing driving us. And then when the fear comes up, we can look at it and we can say, thank you. I understand that you are trying to protect me. And I've done my due diligence and I'm going to make the sale anyway. Mm-hmm. I understand that you're trying to protect me from getting killed. And I'm going to make that phone call anyway because my mission's more important than my fear.
Right.
And we thank it. We honor it because it's, you know, it's there to protect us, but we don't listen to it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times we don't listen to it is because of all the distractions. We don't quiet ourselves enough. We don't quiet the mind enough.
Yeah. The mind gets us in so much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is designed to gather information and to store data, period. And yet we give our mind control over everything. Decision making, that's not supposed to be done with your mind. Pro and con lists, those are ridiculous. Seriously.
I sleep on everything. I seriously.
Oh.
Yeah, I sleep on everything. If I don't know what to do, I'm going to take a nap and I will wake up. The subconscious mind will give me the answer upon rising.
I love that. That's perfect. I sometimes will ask the question as I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I've got some big thing, I'll ask the question. And then when I wake up, I usually have the answer.
Yeah. There's a very good quote that says, I think it's Erickson, should not go to sleep without giving the subconscious something to work on for you.
That's a really good idea because often my subconscious gives me really weird dreams.
Oh, yeah. And their messages, they are guidance. I had a dream last weekend about white flowers with purple in the inside. And
ooh.
So, yeah. And so I woke up and I was like, ooh, that must mean something. I love orchids. They're beautiful, but I have never purchased an orchid with purple and white. And so I went to Costco and there were nothing but purple and white and purple orchids in Costco.
Oh, of course.
Of course, right? I woke up and I was like, I have to buy one. And my fiance is like, you don't need it. You have a white one at home and this one hasn't even bloomed yet. You know, and I was like, but you don't understand. I've been given an instruction.
That's right. And if you don't listen to those instructions, then eventually the universe will hit you with a 2x4. So
yeah, that or Julie, it just becomes less and less prominent, less and less pronounced, where you don't hear it enough because you're not obedient.
Exactly. That's so awesome.
Yeah. You have to be obedient to actually tune in for the next time because you're not ready for it. You're not going to take it in and act on it because then you have to take the first step to for the rest to be revealed. And if you don't take the first step, there's nothing else that the universe can give you. That's how I perceive it.
Yes. And that's the best way to cut your flow of abundance is to not pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this so much. And I want to ask you how men respond to this, because I know don't like the word feminism and feminine way. They want to be masculine and macho and rah, rah, rah. How do you find that they respond to marketing feminism? And can men do it?
Well, I think that men can do it, and it depends on the man. In all honesty, because I've been working with women for so long, my man market, anyway, has shrunk a lot. But I can tell you what I've run into. I've run into men who just don't understand it and refuse. I've run into men that go, hey, wait, we could do this. And I'm like, yes, you could. And I think it really takes a man who is really open to like exploring and looking at a different way of doing things. And they're out there. I mean, there's a lot of men now who are out there.
It takes a spiritual man. This is all you're saying. It is spirituality. That's all it is.
Oh, it's so spirituality.
Yeah.
I totally run my business from my spirituality.
Yeah. And it's powerful. It's a powerful source because why? We're a bundle of energy. You think about it. We're being fed. And if we want something, if we want a goal, we have to change our frequency to the frequency of the goal that we're attaining, because it's not in our reach, which means we're not in the same frequency level as it is. So we have to change.
Yes.
Our brain chemistry has to change, right? Our body energy has to change to meet that.
Yes. What we're putting out there has to change. You know, Albert Einstein said something like, I'll probably mangle this, but we cannot solve the problems that exist in the world with the thinking that created the problems.
You got it.
You know, and he was absolutely saying, you've got to change your vibration. You've got to change your energy level to create or to attract that which you desire. It's already out there waiting for you, but you don't have it yet because you haven't met its vibration.
I just tapped into it and it's amazing, Julie. It's no coincidence that you are coming on the show now versus 3 months ago when I wasn't there.
It would have been a very different conversation.
Absolutely. I probably wouldn't have understand what you're referring to and couldn't have a conversation around it. But I totally understand so much what you're doing because now not only is marketing fun, but I feel like I'm in my genius zone every day.
Yeah. I have to tell you, when I started my business, I had a very masculine business name, like all about strategy. And then my clients would come and I'd be like, oh, let's check in with your inner child. Let's do some work with that energy of fear. And they'd be like, wow, this is not at all what you advertise, right? Mm-hmm. And when I started to advertise what I really do was when my business just became so easy and so fun. And I made a lot more money by saying, you know, we're going to do this. And sometimes I'm going to like check in with your dead grandma because she's going to tell us stuff. And maybe I'll pull a tarot card. And then we're going to talk about building your funnel and we're going to bring it all together. And people were like, you know, and there were some people who were like, I don't want anything to do with you, which is the people I don't want to be coaching anyway. Mm-hmm. And other people were like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it resonates.
Yeah. And that's really when you're in business, that's the number one rule of marketing is if you bring your whole self to it, don't hide anything, you will attract the right people.
So is that how to capture the right word to bring to attract the perfect client?
Well, here's this little trick I know about the right words. We all as children had wounding experiences. And in those wounding experiences, the ones that we couldn't process, we create a belief about ourselves. So I told you in the beginning about my dad saying, I trained my boys to get along in the world, and I trained my girls to be taken care of in the world. And that created a wound in me. Now, when we dig into your wound, we discover not only what the wound is, and we begin to heal that wound, but we discover the skills that you developed in response to the wound so that you wouldn't have to feel it anymore. Those are the skills we use to position you as uniquely in the marketplace. The other thing that happens is we dig out your emotions around the wound, both what you felt and what you wanted to feel instead. And that becomes the language that we use in your marketing, because that language responds to the language that your perfect clients are going to be using to describe their pain as well.
Well put. Dig deep.
I have been doing this work for a while. That particular piece, I was trained by Jeffrey Van Dyke to do that piece of wounds work, which is magic. And then, of course, have taken it and adapted it into my own thing, but totally stand on great shoulders. I've had great mentors and teachers.
Yeah, that's important. Mentoring, coaching. I had a business coach when I first started. Well, I started last year and I'm thinking about getting a new one, but it really helps in terms of guidance and direction so that you don't make the same mistakes or it doesn't take you 10 years to get it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a worthwhile investment.
When people ask me, what's the one piece of advice you give? I say, find a coach or a mentor and it sounds very self-serving, but I will tell you every single time that I have hired a coach, my income has increased and my satisfaction with my business has increased. And I think the work that I've done with my clients has gotten better as a result every single time. And almost always I've done it at a point where it didn't make a lot of sense. Like I hired a new mentor 3 weeks into the pandemic and the shutdown when everybody was like, don't spend money. We don't know what will happen. And I went, well, in that case.
Right? Yeah, might as well. Let me sign up. What's the dotted line?
I need to go find somebody. And I hired a very high-end coach. I'm just like super loving her program.
Fantastic. A lot of the content on the show is not just about morning routine, but finding your purpose, right? Because if you're doing the habits in the morning, it will help reveal, it will heal, help you heal and help reveal what your purpose is and your passion is and how to add value to the world. So I want you, Julie, to tell us how to find or how to reawaken passion for the work that we do.
I love that word reawaken because we know we just have forgotten. So here is kind of my advice to people is first of all, make sure you're listening. So how do you listen? You can do guided meditations, go out and walk in nature, like literally go out into nature and take nothing but a bottle of water, a journal and a pen and spend 4 or 5 hours out there, which I've done with my clients. They think I'm crazy when I suggest it, but afterwards they're like, ooh, that was great. Start to listen to your dreams, write your dreams down in the morning, and then really pay attention to the hunger. You know, when you see somebody doing something and you just feel that in your belly, you're like, oh, I want that. Pay attention to that. We are so trained not to listen to our own hunger and our own longing. And your longing is your soul calling you into your work.
I know I've seen things that I was that is luxurious and beautiful. Like I have an eye for beauty, beautiful people, beautiful hair, beautiful clothes, art. And when I see it and I'm like, oh, that's nice. I one day want that. But if you share that out loud, people are going to be like, be content where you are. Don't be envious of others. And it's just like these other chatter, you know, that conflicts with what your soul really desires.
Yeah, that's the voice, the monkey voices of conformity that are other people's fear and judgment. You know, we are not designed to be content with where we are. We're literally biologically not designed. We are biologically, we have an imperative to grow and change and discover and explore. That is part of the human being. And at the same time, to be in gratitude for all we have. So to be in gratitude for what we have and to extend that gratitude to what we want. Here's one of the secrets to manifesting. There's a whole bunch more. But one is to hold what we want in gratitude as ours. I want a seven-figure business. I hold it as mine. And then I shift my energy to be the person who can have a seven-figure business or six-figure if you're building to six-figure or, you know, half a million if that's where you're building to have nice things. Ooh, I used to think I wanted to travel with my business. And several years I started to do that. And this will be the first year that we don't, in several years, that I don't travel with my clients to beautiful locations and do amazing retreats on vacation. And we're only not doing it this year because of the health situation out in the world. But next year we'll be back. And I think I already know in 2021 where we're going with my clients. So excited. But, you know, when I first dreamt it, I didn't know how I was going to make it happen.
Right. Yeah, I have the same dream to travel for business. And it's not corporate America business, right? Those are exhausting. You're in meetings all day, you're stuck at a hotel, and then you're jet lag and you got to get home after. But I've always had the dream I want to travel for business. And so I am holding that dear and manifesting it and visualizing it to see how it unfolds because I'm just getting started.
Yay. Oh, yeah. You've got to hold it. We've been fabulous places. I've taken my clients. New Orleans was unbelievable. And we've been to Hawaii a couple of times. We've been to Mexico. I want to go back to, there's some other places in Mexico I want to go with my clients just because I love it down there so much.
How long do you go for?
Well, usually what happens, the way that I set it up is that my photographer and I will go a couple of days early. And then we bring the clients in and we usually do 3 or 4 day retreats. And then we'll give the clients a day on either end that is free time for them. Cause you know, they're in paradise. We bring them to paradise. So we give them time and then everybody leaves and my husband comes and I spend a week being taken care of and regaining my equilibrium and playing and having a really good time before I go home.
Nice.
And we usually do between 2 and 4 retreats a year. Although, I mean, I'm up for more. I'll do more next year. I'm just getting the message that I'm not asking big enough. Like, I'm actually hearing you need to ask for more retreats. So I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
It's just really, really fun in a really blessed way. And then I get, you know, 3 or 4 vacations out of it every year as well, because I take the week off after.
You put it right in there. You schedule it in. And I love traveling. I love traveling the world. So it's a perfect, like, fit.
Yeah. It's a great model.
It's a great model. I agree with you. You know, one thing that I hear quite often, I hear quite often is when you are not the same person you used to be, and people are shocked when you do something completely different. And then you have to preach and tell them, okay, well, you're growing, you know, you're evolving, you're exploring, you are becoming
yeah.
a new being. And then people just kind of just box you in. Oh, I didn't know you do that. I didn't know you used to do that. It's just let it go.
Yeah. You know, I just smile at people when they say, you don't have to explain yourself at all. You just smile and go, I do that. That's true. And it's the same as when people give you a compliment, you go, oh yeah, I am great at that. Thank you.
I love your energy.
Thank you.
Well put. Okay, Julie. So tell us, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
My morning routine, I get up, I have a cup of tea with lemon. My husband and I take usually about a 20-minute walk, although every now and then we'll go the long way and turn it into a longer walk with a little hike. And then I just kind of slowly ease into it. Not always, but usually when I wake up in the morning, I just ask a little blessing, let me be of service today. And then when I sit down and work, I'll ask, okay, business, source, what are the most important things? And I make a little list of the things that my business wants me to get done that day. And then eventually I end up with a whole bunch of notes all over my desk that I have to go through and throw away.
Yeah.
Because my desk is super messy. The rest of my office is like so tidy and organized and everything in its place. And then my desk is like this huge mess. But it's important for me every day to write down those 3 or 4 things that I want to get done that day, even if they are a holdover, because if I don't do that, I don't get them done. And then I don't start my day till about 10 o'clock. I don't take clients before 10 unless it's a special circumstance. I have one class that I start it at 9 o'clock a couple of times a month. But other than that, I don't start till 10 because I want to ease into it. I want to give myself space if I need to. Sometimes I do a little reading, whatever it is. The important things for me are doing the morning walk, touching Mama Earth, really grounding out on my walk before I get started. And if I don't do that, I can tell the difference in my day.
Right. Is it more chaotic?
It's just less. I'm just grumpier. Less gets done. I get really moody. And I'm not a nature girl by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, my idea of camping is a luxury RV. But there's something about being with Mama Earth every day that's really, really important.
Yeah, well put. I agree with you. I connect because that's how one can disconnect, right? Leave the social media, leave the phone, leave everything behind and just be in tune.
Yeah.
With nature.
Yeah, and I'm really lucky where I live. Okay. I have to take that back. I'm really lucky that I spent a number of years manifesting where I live. So I manifested this place that is on the edge wilderness, like literally 5 feet out my back door.
Good.
Is acres and acres of Bureau land management land. And so I'm really lucky that I'm in a place where when I walk, I can feel nature. And oftentimes we're out walking the trails in wilderness. I mean, sometimes we'll walk the sidewalk depending on if I don't have a lot of energy, I'm not climbing the hills. But most of the time I know by the time I get to the hill, I'm ready for it. So a lot of times we're there on the trails in the morning, or I'm very grateful that I had mentors who taught me how to manifest so that I could manifest the home I live in.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So happy. Tell us, how can we connect with you?
Well, there's a couple of ways. I am on Facebook. We have a Facebook group called Feminine Marketing Magic. We do a lot of stuff in that group. Super fun. A lot of interaction, challenges, marketing. We're really building connection in that group. So you can join us there. You can also find me at juliefouch.com, which is my website. And I don't know when this is going to air, but I have a book coming out in a month. So you can also get the book, which is called Love-Based Feminine Marketing, How to Build a Six-Figure Business Without Grind, Hustle, or something else. Yeah. I'll get you the title. My publisher came up with that last little bit. I'm like, ooh, that's good. So I haven't quite memorized it yet. But the book is another great way of just digging into this material in a little more depth, and hopefully will open some ideas or some channels for Source to speak to you.
Fantastic. Yeah, I will definitely put that on the show notes as well as the book when this goes out. We're looking at August, end of August or even September, because we're actually scheduled out into July right now.
Oh, perfect. So yeah, the book comes out the 1st of July, so it'll be available when this goes live.
Yes, fantastic. Julie, I thank you so much for your time and energy today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.